Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herz, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handles the Nashville Predators pregame and postgame duties for the Preds Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Max Herz on the board in the mornings. I didn't think he did mornings. Yeah, this is like a development. This is actually like breaking news. Max Herz on the morning show board. I told him, I was like, now I know why Chase went to bat for you for two games in the NHL. You do a couple NHL games, and he knew he had you in mornings after that. Max, yeah, you can do two Max. NHL games, and now you'll do mornings because you're mine.
That's right. And Max's face is as red as an apple right now. It's good stuff.
He deserved it. He did a fantastic job, but Chase was smart. That was a very out of the box thinking as the new program director.
Very soon.
There's an example.
Max,
I don't
you don't
spend
do mornings.
The entire show praising Max Herz. We don't let Max get a big head.
That was not me talking. That was a drop.
That was a drop.
There's an example. And I don't want to spend the entire show praising Max Herz. We don't let Max get a big head.
See, I didn't know that Max went back and
Joe said that in January. And now I have
now it's going to be a thing.
Now it's on the red button.
That's right.
Yes. On this Wokel show.
That's right. Thank you. So, Darren, what did you think of the weekend for the Predators? Obviously, you only get 1 out of 4 points against two very good teams in the Eastern Conference. You're 1 up on Dallas right now, 3 up on Vegas with 10 games left to play. What do you make of the spot they're in as they head down the stretch here?
I wasn't terribly surprised with the weekend, although I will probably take a little bit different approach when I get to Sunday's game. But Saturday, look, Florida, it's no secret. I understand it's still the regular season, and they're going to have to do it in the postseason. And they were really, really good last year because, remember, they were in the Predators division, the reconfigured division, and they saw Florida and Tampa and Carolina a ton. And Florida was really good last year. They just unfortunately got Tampa in the first round, and next thing you know, they're one and done. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. They look to be a legit contender. But, you know, Colorado and Florida are going to finish up the two best teams in the regular season. I feel pretty good about that, and they deserve it. But still, the question is going to be, what can they do in the postseason play? They haven't done it. Neither one of them have. They both have been good for the last several seasons, and they haven't made that magical run. So that's going to be the storyline behind them once they get into postseason play. And I thought John Hines said it well after the Florida game. I didn't think they played well. By the way, guys, if you'd have told me that was going to be a 2-1 hockey game, I would have – you're talking about that evil laugh I did at the beginning. That's the same thing I would have done, like – or maybe it's in the floor belly laugh. Like, no way. Florida was averaging over 4 goals a game. They score more goals than anybody in the league, and it's really not that close. Colorado's kind of a distant second. I mean – that just puts in perspective how good this Florida team. They're not afraid to get behind. They played from behind all week. They've won 7 in a row. I mean, they got down 5-1 to Toronto and won 7-6 earlier in the week. I think what John Hines was trying to say is, look, you just can't play an even game with Florida. You're going to have to play better than them to beat them. And I'm not trying to put words in John. I mean, in fact, he even used the average word, which I was a little bit surprised, but I thought they played well. Look, if you didn't see the ending, it was not a 4-1 hockey game. It was a 2-1 hockey game with a couple of empty netters. So I really wasn't that surprised. Roman Josi obviously had the big chance. They had chances in the third period. They were all over Spencer Knight in the final 2 minutes. Roman Josi, you know, out of 60 tries, he does, you know, he makes that 59 out of 60 times. See what I did there? And so nice. You don't really, you know, you don't really look into that too deep. Now, get into the Pittsburgh game. We've now seen Pittsburgh twice in 3.5 weeks. And I'm just going to say this. I thought Nashville outplayed the Penguins. And I think they outplayed them in both games. And I know they got the 4-1 victory here. I'm just going to go on and say this. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've seen Pittsburgh now twice in 3.5 weeks. I don't think that team's going anywhere in the playoffs. Unless the Eastern Conference is really soft, I don't see that Pittsburgh team going far. They don't really impress me. They don't push back. I don't think they're physical enough. They're too finesse. And, yes, they've still got Crosby and Malkin and Letang and some, you know, Gensel. They got really good players, but I'm not impressed with them. Quite honestly, I thought the Predators should have won that game. I thought they were the better team. And, you know, Pittsburgh had 3 shots in the first period and almost was leading 1-0 if it wasn't for that Duchesne goal late in the first period. I just thought they were the better team for a majority of the game. I'm not that impressed with Pittsburgh. Yes, they got a point. I think in that spot, just me personally, I would have liked to have seen them grab 2. I'm not impressed with the Penguins. They probably should have swept them this season.
So we've been batting this around, Darren. You can take some aspects of this Preds season, certainly Josi's season, Duchesne's season. I mean, like the best for both of them they've ever had. Janot, the power play, all these things. You can isolate certain things. And if you put those things together and told me before the year that all this would happen, then I would have expected this team to be in a better place overall. If you had to pick one reason why these career years that we're seeing and how some of the top players in this team are playing like it, but they still aren't having the overall success you might expect, what would you top the list with?
Well, Joe, this was Robbie and I's exact conversation we were having in Patron Platinum Club before pregame. We both got there early. We were sipping on hot tea. We had cheese and crackers. And we were just, reminiscing about things. And this was one of the topics.
It's a great setup.
That we were reminiscing about as we were drinking hot tea with a lemon. Although I don't do lemon. Robbie did. And having cheese and crackers. If any of us were told, just think about this. And this is what I said to Robbie. If we were told before the season began that Philip Forsberg was going to have 40 goals, because I still believe he's going to have 40 goals. Matt Duchesne was going to have a career year, and you could probably throw in he's going to get to 40 goals as well. Tanner Janot is, you can make a case, should be the rookie of the year. I think he's going to get snubbed, but he's going to maybe break the rookie record. Roman Josi is going to have the best season a Predators player has ever had in franchise history. This team's power play was going to be a top 10 power play unit the entire year. And UC Saros was just going to be UC Saros. What do you think our predictions would have been for this team if we would have known that before the season began? Do you think anyone in their right mind would have said, yeah, that means they'll probably be hanging on for dear life just to secure a playoff spot? No one would have said that. But I told Robbie, I was like, I probably would have said, geez, with all that being said, they may win the division, right? I mean, that's the way. If you would have told me that back before they played a game, all that was going to play out this season. And, oh, by the way, they're going to be a physical team, because I said it. I was like, you know, back before they kind of reconstruct this roster, I was like, this team is baby poop soft. They've got to get tougher. They get pushed around way too much. That hasn't been the case at all, as we know. Got more fighting majors, more hits, more. They are a very, very physical team. How could any of us have predicted anything other than they would be safely in going into game 73 tomorrow night, right? Or am I wrong? Does anybody think differently?
You're right.
I think everyone would have said that, or very close to everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could have thought differently, but here we sit. So to answer your question that I didn't answer, I don't know. I don't know how this team is still going to have to fight all the way to the end with all of that being said.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road from Darren Donick and Chase. So, Darren, with that being said, how concerning is that to you if you're David Poile? Of all these things have gone right. And look, they've still got some hockey to play this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs. We'll see what they can do once playoffs come around. But if you're getting these career years out of everybody, and this is the end result where you're still a wild card team, is that concerning to you if you're David Poile?
And, oh, by the way, Dallas is 1 point behind you with the same amount of games remaining.
Yep.
And Vegas just got Max Pacioretty back, and they're only 2 points out from the final spot, 3 points out from your spot. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a very interesting conversation. I would not to sidestep it or to avoid it because I do think it's a relevant topic. How about let's see how it plays out, right? Because if they go on a, you know, if they go on a magical run, then this is all for naught. I mean, it's like, oh, well, that's what happens whenever you have all that production and you do all that in a season. It pays off for you, but let's kind of see how it plays out and then let's revisit because I think we do kind of need to see the final body of work before we comment on it because we've seen teams just get in. The Predators did it. Others have done it. Just get in and then make that run. Is this team – I still believe this team is equipped to go on the run. I really do. They are equipped to be a play. Like I said, I don't think Pittsburgh is. Now, maybe they'll prove me wrong. I don't think they're equipped for postseason play. I think this Predators team is equipped. Now we'll just see what happens.
What would you say would be required to feel good? Like, if you right now there's 20 possible points out there for the Preds. What's safe?
Typically, it's around the 95, 96 mark to feel safe that you're going to get in, or that's, or maybe not safe. That's the number you need to get to. I think this year, obviously, the way it's played out, it's going to take a little bit more. So if you're going to use the safe word, Joe, I think you better get to about 98. So they need about 11 more points with 10 remaining.
Yeah.
I'd say about 98. If you're going to use the word safe, I think 98 gets you in.
Yeah, very rarely has a 98-point team not been in the
right.
postseason.
Yeah. I don't know the numbers, but you're right. It's rare that you don't get in with 98 points. So I think that's the safe number.
Well, it starts tomorrow as they take on San Jose coming up at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check him out weekdays 10 to 2 on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren, great stuff as always. Looking forward to the show today at 10.
Always fun, gents. Thanks.
We'll come back. We'll react to what Darren had to say there. Take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Are you concerned that they're having career years out of a lot of players but yet still find themselves on the playoff fringe? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Show us your bad Easter photos, Nashville, from pastel overload to horrible bunny costumes. We want to see it all. You can win a family four-pack of tickets to a Nashville Sounds home game or the grand prize of a two-night stay at Gaylord Opryland Hotel with access to their fabulous Soundwaves Water Park as well. Submit photos now at thegamenashville.com/Easter for your chance to enter and to win. You pull off some pretty good Easter photos if you really wanted to. I used to be the Easter Bunny.
You did?
Yeah.
You used to dress up as the Easter Bunny?
One of the Easter Bunny's henchmen, yes, I should say. Because I'm not the actual Easter Bunny. I was just helping him out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You dressed up as an Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
You're not the Easter Bunny, obviously.
No. Yeah. Can't have that.
Very important. Important distinction to make. By the way, the record for points and not making the playoffs, three teams have done it, 96. 96 points. Last to do that was the Canadiens in the 18-19 season.
Well, I don't know. 96 may not do it this year.
96 may not do it. I mean, if I'm the Preds right now, I'm not like, 9 points and we're good. Mm. I 9 of 20, I'm not feeling comfortable about that.
No. I got a text that says, Predators are like the Titans. We know they're a good team, but they have some games that make you scratch their head. It's coming from a texter on the text line. They do.
I agree. They also, every team that anybody pays close attention to has some games like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially in an 82-game season.
Yeah.
It's a little different in football.
Right. Yeah, it is. But even in football in the NFL, I mean, every week there's a, right, there's a Jags 9, Bills 6.
Yeah.
Still makes zero sense. Just because Urban was like, come on, to his defense the whole game on the sideline. How's that, you know?
I mean, 1-2-3 grind.
But, yeah, the Titans really had some. There was a little bit of a parallel, I guess. The Titans beat all the great teams on their schedule, basically, including a lot of games that no one thought they'd win. And the Preds, I feel like without having it in front of me like a number, I feel like they've really risen to the occasion a lot against good teams and have blown too many to bad teams.
John from Columbia texting in says, mark my words, they will choke. They always do. This comes from John from Columbia. I guess what does choke mean? Like, is it missing the playoffs? Because that would probably be choking.
Yeah, if that's the case, then you're wrong. They never do that. We were talking earlier about the Red Wings real quick. Sorry. Red Wings, six straight seasons that that the great Detroit Red Wings will not be in the playoffs, which is hard to make. I mean, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
6 straight years. The Preds, what was it, first 5 years?
Yeah.
First 5 years of their franchise. They've never had a six-year drought, and they've had a total of 3 years where they've missed the playoffs since then.
Yeah.
So they don't choke when it comes to making the playoffs.
It does not. Now, if they just based on this team from here on out, if they don't make the playoffs, is that a choke job at this point, given where they were earlier in the season? Maybe. Like, if you told me right now they lost in the first round of the playoffs, I'd be like, well, yeah, probably. They're probably going to be playing either Colorado or Calgary. So is that a choke job if they lose in the first round of the playoffs?
I think it's definitely a choke job if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think we could agree on that.
Again, is amazing, because if you'd have told me that before the season, I'd be like, no. I mean, I picked them to not make the playoffs. So
you did. But then if someone told you all those things that we've been talking about today, and if they told you that at, what was it? When were they first in the West? I mean, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
But it was January, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it early January?
Mm-hmm.
That they would have been there then? Yeah, I think that C word would be applicable.
I got a texture that says, numerous other teams in the Western Conference are also having players putting forth career seasons, so it's all relative. If the Preds team makes it to 97 to 100 points as a wild card, that's not a disappointment. This is coming from a texter on the text line.
So if they get in and they just get, like, swept the heck out of the playoffs right away. I mean, I would not be willing to say, I think choke job is not making the playoffs, but I think that'd still be a pretty big disappointment. They wouldn't be competitive in the first round.
I mean, agreed, but again, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs for the season. So
you
I
can
guess
change,
it depends
you
on.
You can change your expectations over time?
Sure. And my expectations have changed with this group. I certainly expect them to make the playoffs. And, like, to me, the biggest thing you got to figure out is, what are you going to do with Matt Duchene? It's obvious that they're leaving Forsberg and Johansson together. They moved Duchene down with Granlund. He scored yesterday. I think he's been fine down there. The fact of the matter is, you scored 3 goals over the weekend. You scored 1 against Florida. You scored 2 against Pittsburgh. And regardless of how you feel about your team and your goaltending and all that, that's not good enough. Like, that's not going to get it done coming down the stretch. You got to score. You got to get into the threes to give yourself a good chance to win a game. Like, if you're scoring 1 and 2 goals a game, it's just not going to be good enough on most nights. So what do you do about the lineup that – makes you feel better? Do you just go back and load it up and take your chances that Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchene can be so good in the playoffs that they don't get shut down, or that they're at least able to be effective enough out there where they can give you enough goals to win a series? Maybe. I don't know. But I know this, 3 goals against 2 really good teams over the weekend is not good enough. You got to be better than that.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that, because I just don't have high confidence that they're just going to be lighting it up in a playoff series when it's very easy for the opponent to focus on them. So I think you have to keep it separated somehow, and you have to try to have balance in those two lines. You know, Dan Hynoak kind of told us that last week, right? That's how the coaches are thinking about it. I'd like to bring in Max Herz on this. Max Herz? He's not even listening to us anymore. Look at him.
What's the question? Sorry.
I told you.
I was in some audio in one ear.
Okay, you were doing stuff?
He's doing his
you
job.
You were just like looking at your phone.
All right, fine.
Well, the idea of, like, what do you do with Duchene? What do you do with the top two lines? Do you load up and go back with Forsberg, Duchene, Johansson? What would you do?
I think it was maybe inevitable that Tomasino got that look if they're going to go deep in the playoffs. So I think you stick with it. I think you do. As much as I love them loading up the three best forwards together, I kind of like the duos of Granlund and Duchene and Johansson and Forsberg. And I think we saw a little bit, one of you guys said earlier that Forsberg had such a great game Saturday night, and I totally agree. I mean, he was all over the puck, bringing the puck up through the neutral zone, into the offensive zone, and then Duchesne had a lot of moments where he was doing that too, and he did it yesterday as well. So I think separating those two guys kind of allows them to do more of that, which offsets some of the drawbacks of not loading up, of which there are obviously positives, but also drawbacks too, because you lose some of Granny's production.
Yeah, I agree. Like I think they're gonna stick with this for at least a little while longer. Until, I mean, at some point, if you get through the San Jose game and you've scored one goal again, like at some point you just got to change it up. Like you can't just sit there and force feed it. But I do agree that come playoff time, the more options you can have on different lines, the better off you're going to be. I mean, at this point, they're probably not breaking up the Sissons line. So you just got to get something out of another winger with Granlund other than Duchesne. I don't care if it's Tolvanen, Cunning, whoever. I know there's a lot of momentum now from some Preds fans to bring up Cody Glass because he's got 60 points in 63 games down there in Milwaukee. I don't know if that's the answer or not, but you got to get something because right now Tolvanen and Cunning are just, they're not good enough. It's not good right now.
The three goals, they were all 5-on-5, right? Which is tough for the power play.
Yeah.
But they didn't convert. I still thought the power play looked good for the most part, like it always does now, which is still weird. But, you know, 3 5-on-5 goals?
Yeah.
That's something.
It is.
No, I agree. That's the thing. If you have to load up to get to the playoffs, then do it. And then you can unload or reload?
Reload.
Deload?
Yeah.
So, like, shift the weight around a little bit. You got to do whatever you got to do whatever you can to get in.
Well, and the other thing, like, some of your line combos, I think, if you get to the playoffs, are matchup-based too, right? Like, if you're Calgary, Calgary's a physical team. Can Philip Tomasino handle playing first-line minutes against Calgary? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's only one way to find out, I guess, but I'd be worried about that. If it's Colorado, like Colorado's, they can play physical, but I think they're a less physical team than Calgary is. So maybe Tomasino can handle that a little bit more. I don't know. I think some of it's matchup-based as well.
Well, yeah, and that's why, look, I think you made a good point about people are like, oh, please, Calgary. Obviously, you'd probably rather avoid like the one seed as long as you can. We know how loaded Colorado is, but I'm not sure that's not the better matchup if you had to make a choice because of what you just said. And I agree with what Corey Curtis said, and we've said it all year, that the way they play should translate well to a postseason series. It should.
Calgary kind of plays that way too.
So maybe why not try to be the hero for everybody else and shock the Avs and beat them up for seven games.
That nice Daryl Sutter post-game media availability throughout the whole thing, because he says a lot, that Daryl Sutter guy. It's great.
Yeah.
Let's go back and look at those runs with the Kings. It looks like he'd rather be doing anything else in the world. Look, it makes Mike Vrabel look like a choir boy up there. Like Mike Vrabel is like a media darling compared to Daryl Sutter.
Vrabel is a media darling, isn't he?
He is. Friend of the show.
As long as he, you know, as long as you don't ask him about how he and John Robinson are feuding behind the scenes.
That's right.
But you can only hear on 102.5 The Game.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. Got more to get to on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and an umbrella as well. Text in golf to 615-737-1025 and be entered to win. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Can this be a distracting day for your players?
Can it be? You'd have to ask. I mean, that's not for me. I'm not getting traded today. I could get fired, but I ain't getting traded.
Brilliant analysis there from Daryl Sutter, coach of the Calgary Flames. Hey, if we get a playoff series between the Flames and the Preds, that's what we have to look forward to. Be that right there.
I've been talking to some Calgary media members lately. I bet you it was a way better time when Crispy was a head coach in Calgary than...
Right? But it was.
Those presses were a little bit better.
Hey, he's a good coach. I'll give him that. Two-time Stanley Cup champion. He is. He's got Calgary going this year. He's a really good coach. So what he does works, but man. John Hines will seem like a William Shakespeare compared to Daryl Sutter.
Don Rickles up here, you know?
Jeez.
A Don Rickles William Shakespeare combination.
Oh,
that's what we need at press conferences.
Be real good stuff. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dustin texting in says, Chicago thought they wanted to play the wild card in 2017. 4 games later, they were golfing. This is coming from Dustin on the text line.
Yep.
I think Darren's point that he brought up earlier is a valid one. Like, I love Florida's team. I think that they're really good. I love Colorado's team. I think that they're really good, but they've not done it yet in the playoffs. And until they do it, there's always going to be kind of that cloud hanging over them of, all right, that's great. You got a lot of talent. Great in the regular season. Can you win playoff series? Can you make deep runs and go on a run in the playoffs? I think it's more so with Colorado because they've been doing it a little bit longer. Like this new team with Florida, they've still got the same core of Barkov and Ekblad and Huberto, which, by the way, Ekblad hadn't played lately, so he's going to get back at some point. But I think the Colorado one is interesting. Can they translate to the playoffs?
I don't know. There's a lot of pressure in that way. At some point, they just got to say bleep it and just go win it.
Yeah, hope we get a repeat of that this year too.
That was a good press conference.
Yes, yeah, it was.
It can happen in hockey.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I look at the West right now. Like, if you're the Predators, I agree. Like, the Minnesota-St. Louis dream of one of those two matchups is probably not happening at this point. I mean, you do play St. Louis head-to-head, so, I mean, I guess you could make up some points that way, but you're 7 points back, and you're running out of time at this point to catch them. I mean, you're probably, if you're making the playoffs, one of the two wild card spots. I mean, right now you're holding on for dear life if you're the Predators. You got to find a way to take advantage of these home games this week. But if it's Calgary or Colorado, I'd probably take my chances with Calgary, but it's close. Like, I think some people just think it's a slam dunk that you avoid Colorado at all costs, and I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory.
If I had a choice, I'd be like, yeah, someone else take them out.
Sure.
When they get it going – I mean, there's a reason they are where they are. They've got the goods. But, yeah, I think it's definitely close, and you can make that style of play argument. And it's going to be one of those two. I think I'm confident that, man, this Easter Bunny henchman thing has got me distracted. I'm sorry. Yeah, you'll have to look at Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. DJ Burnside.
Thank you, Dennis.
Well done.
Continues to come through.
And so fast, you know?
I just retweeted at @RStanleyNHL on Twitter.
Because you see that at first I didn't notice. That's you in the, to the right. That's
Thank you.
In the back.
Yes, I,
yeah. I didn't notice that at first. I just thought it was just a funny bunny picture. I assume that's from, like, Batman.
I guess.
That's the best, example of henchman ever.
Yes.
And then you just one little punch and they're knocked out.
Like the Adam West Batman.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
One of the great TV shows of all time.
Oh, no question. The best Batman.
I got a texter that says, poor team defense, game in, game out, is a problem. Breakaways and odd man rushes continually occur if you're the Predators.
See, I thought this weekend, I thought that was less of a problem.
I agree.
Like in terms of just like real critical mistakes.
I mean, you might want to put a body on Crosby on that first goal, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not like non-existent, but I feel like a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago or whatever, in the not-too-distant past, I thought that was the biggest issue. And I feel like they've kind of tightened some things up, so to speak.
What do we make of Dante Fabbro not being in there yesterday? Now, I have to assume that that's an injury of some kind. But he wasn't in there yesterday. And Lozon was up playing with Josi to begin the game yesterday. And I went back and I looked at the shift chart for Fabbro because sometimes you can see like
– someone just falls off.
Yeah, if he just falls off and he's – you know, he didn't play the last 10 minutes of the third period, then you kind of got your clue there. I mean, Fabbro, he finished the game on Saturday. So I don't know if he battled through something and was just hurt and couldn't go the next day. I don't know if it was a healthy scratch. Like, what do we make of Dante Fabbro not being in there? Because the healthy scratch part of it would be difficult for me to believe. And like, I haven't noticed Fabbro since he's come back in the lineup being like some huge liability out there.
No, but maybe Hines went through the film and just saw a lot of shifts where he just didn't think he was that he was one of the culprits of what he was talking about collectively.
Could be.
I don't know. He wanted to go super physical with Lozon in the top four. Possible.
Could be. I don't know if that's a strategy I would employ going forward, but could be.
Yeah, I mean, hey, shake it up. He's done a lot of things in the last year plus that going in, if someone said, I would have, nah, I wouldn't do that. It's worked out okay.
It has. I mean, at this point, obviously you're hoping he's not hurt because you're going to need him coming down the stretch. But now, I mean, who knows with Borowiecki? He leaves the game yesterday. You know, you cross-check to the face. I mean, I would assume there's, like, some dental work that needs to be done there. But I don't know if – like, did he break a bone? I mean, that could happen when you take a hockey stick to the face. I have no clue what happened with Mark Borowiecki. So, we'll see what happens with him as they move forward. I know there's some – a lot of people on the text line asking if Malkin's been suspended yet. And I have not seen anything on Malkin at this point.
No word on that yet. Nope. Will he be?
I kind of doubt it. Should he be? Probably.
Typical Pittsburgh bias.
That's right. Chad from Chattanooga texting in says, I feel like a series against Calgary would be like some of those chippy, nasty ones we had with Anaheim. I mean, stylistically, maybe. I mean, there's probably not as much hatred between the Flames and the Predators as there was between those Ducks. Now, having said that, you play them twice coming up, so that could be manufactured pretty quickly coming down the stretch here.
That's a good point. You get a real nice feel for who dislikes who, and then you play a seven-game series. But, yeah, the Ducks just had just a tremendous collection of villains. Or, you know, villains for everybody not in Anaheim.
Oh, I mean, Corey Perry. Yeah.
I mean, Corey Perry, come on.
It's got to be, right?
All-timer.
Like, there had to be at some point, like, even some Ducks fans are like, oh, man, God. Can you stop cup-checking a goalie every time you're down there in the crease?
Maybe. I don't know, though.
If like Corey Perry were on
when
the
you're
Predators,
winning, you love that stuff.
If Corey Perry were on the Predators, would Preds fans like him? I think so.
Yeah. If he also helped contribute in a hockey sense.
Which he does.
And they were winning. And he still does. Yes. I mean, that's the thing. That's what Corey Perry drives you crazy because he's actually good also at the sport. Kind of like the Bill Laimbeer theory.
Yeah.
Like he was also like an all-star and won the rebounding title, and he was the biggest jerk in the league.
There you go. Send it back to those bad boys, baby. I like it.
Now, Rick Mahorn was not all that good of a player, but he just did what he did very well.
He did. I don't know. You're talking me into a Colorado first-round series. You're talking me out
of
Calgary.
As a preference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because they have 110 points right now. They're very good.
And at some point they're going, I think, what's the best example of a team like this that didn't ever get it done? Because, I mean, look. Again, I'll go back to the Red Wings. Keep talking about Detroit sports today. Many years it was like, they're just never going to – Stevie Y is never going to get a cup, and they're just going to blow all this talent, and they finally figured it out. Is there an example of a team that has been this good relative to the rest of the league and then did not end up winning a cup?
I'm sure there might be. I just have to go look.
Nothing comes to mind. Max? Yeah.
You're talking about like over multiple seasons,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just like an era of a team – you know, an era of a team in this league that was really good. You know, clearly one of the top two, three, four teams in the league over a stretch of years and didn't win it.
I think the closest we've gotten is Ovechkin until he finally
got
one.
And then he won it.
But
then they won it, right.
They all got one now.
That's a good example for a long time. Nah, never going to give it. Okay, they figured it out. Like, I feel like you always, if you're that good, you ultimately
I guess you might be able to throw the Sedin twins in there with Vancouver. They had a stretch where they were really, really good. And they lost in the cup final game 7. But, like, Colorado hadn't been past the second round.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
And also, I don't think that – That's a good thought. But, yeah, I feel like typically – so one of these years, they're going to break through. And they're going to win it or certainly at least get to the cup final.
You would think.
This is probably the year.
The odds are in their favor.
Maybe this is also the year they lose to the Preds in the first round. And then it really gets hot over there.
That's right. You're probably talking about a coach that gets fired at that point, be my guess, even though he's going to end up – they're going to end up winning. Well, they got 10 games left. Let's see here. Including one with the Predators down the stretch. Yeah, Colorado's got 10 games left. They've won 52 games. They've won 52 of 72 games.
Decent. Bednar, you know, he gives some nice pressers, too,
he
by
does.
The way.
It's good stuff.
Consider his press conferences before you fire him.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. In the NBA play-in tournament, there are no sure things except one. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook, and you'll get an instant bonus, win or lose. That's right. Not only do you get to enjoy the NBA's best duking it out right for the advanced or for the right to advance in the playoffs, but FanDuel is giving all customers a bonus for getting in on the action. And the more you bet, the bigger your bonus will be. I like a lot of these matchups in the play-in game. Give me Brooklyn to cover the 8-point spread to take down the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think Brooklyn wins minus the 8. When you have two players like that, I think they care about this game, and I think that'll be on display against Cleveland. But you take it any way you want to take it. FanDuel is an official partner of the NBA. Their app is safe, easy to use, and you'll get your winnings fast. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up today with promo code ROB to make every moment more. Don't just watch the NBA play-in tournament. Be a part of it. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays and get an instant bonus, win or lose. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 7 days. Max bonus of $100. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
What do you think about today? Lineup changes of any sort?
There possibly could. We have a Riddick going net. Okay. So, you know, we'll make a game time decision at D. And then up front, we have the 12 forwards that we have here. So we'll go pretty much the same lineup.
Yeah, there's not much flexibility for you there. It's only on D, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, maybe get a fresh body in there. And we have some guys that have been sitting out. And, you know, I think with the amount of hockey we have, it's smart to try to utilize your lineup, particularly when guys have played well. So we'll see what we do on the back end. But up front, it'll be the same group.
That was John Hines in the pregame show yesterday talking about the defense corps for the Predators. That's interesting. I mean, tell me if you agree, but I read those comments from John Hines of not really injury. It's we need players who have maybe been sitting out for a while that can come back in and play. So that would,
yeah,
you know, reading between the lines, that tells me Fabro healthy scratch, but I guess this is a question of John Hines that needs to be asked.
We're going to do another postseason Fabro-less postseason? Is that where we're headed?
I don't know.
That'd be surprising.
Yeah, that would be.
More surprising, definitely, this year than last year.
I got a texter, Viking Matt, texting in, says, what about Gretzky in L.A. never winning a ring? Does that qualify as what we were talking about with the elite-level NHL teams that didn't ultimately get it done at some point?
Yeah. They had some very good teams. I want to say his first team. Was it first or maybe? Yeah, I think first. I think they got to the conference final, loss to the Flames, right? The year the Flames won it. They had some very good teams. But to me, that it's like they had Gretzky. They were good. They had Robitaille. They were good. But they weren't an elite team in the league over a stretch. Gover apparently threw out the Blackhawks of the 90s. I don't think of them that way at all. They were good. They had some stars, Chelios, Roenick. They were good. They weren't consistently an elite team that you thought, gosh, how are they not winning at all? They just weren't quite good enough.
You also had the Penguins in the 90s and the Red Wings in the 90s and the Avalanche in the 90s. There's a lot of good ones in the 90s.
And they all
they
won.
They all won.
They all won.
That's right. What I'm saying, but that's what the Blackhawks were up against.
Yeah, so they weren't all that good.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good, but not great.
Hey, but if you find some of those jerseys nowadays when Chicago comes to town, that's how you know they're real Blackhawks fans.
Yeah.
Anybody can have a Taze or a Kane jersey.
Yeah.
You got a Tony Monty jersey you're walking around out there?
There you go. Now you're a real one.
That's what we're getting to. Keith texting in says, Joe Rexwoke.
There we go.
It's going back to the local media.
The leader of the local media.
Yes. Griffin texting in says, do you remember the Alex Burrow bite in Vancouver? Oh, yeah. The Alex Burrow in the Stanley Cup final biting Brad Marchand. Which at the time, Brad Marchand was the victim.
He was a victim
of. Think about how that's changed since then.
Of assault with mouth.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Steve has thrown out one that I think actually fits. I think it's a good one. San Jose Sharks. They were really good for a long time.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, Couture, Marlowe, and just never quite got there. They got to the Cup final later in Thornton's career in 16 and got beat by Pittsburgh. But Joe Thornton, I mean, the Sharks from, like, I don't know, 2007 until 2012 or 13, right near the top every year.
Yeah, no, that is a good one. Yeah. I mean,
were there years in there where they were the favorite to win the cup? Because I feel like that's got to be – because that was not the case with the Blackhawks. I don't think that was the case with the Kings, but I think that's probably the best one yet. Yeah. Yeah, it is wild that they never got one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking through it right now. I mean, obviously the Predators were familiar with them because they saw them in 05, 06, and 06, 07 in the playoffs. And then the year after that was – they had 107 and 06, 07, and then they went – four straight years, 108, 117, 113, 105 in terms of the points. And then back in 2013-14, 111.
Yeah, you'd think you'd get
one. At some point in that.
I think that's our winner then.
I think that's it.
And they have the goalie too with Nabokov.
Yeah.
Now, again, if you go – yeah, no, you're right. That is the winner. Because if you go – I mean, the Red Wings had a longer stretch than that before they – I mean, it was a long time before they broke through. If you go from – really – late 80s into – they finally win it in 97? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did end up doing it. Different goalies and whatnot. Mike Vernon, Flames Cup, Wings Cup, Crispy. Crispy's involved in all this, five degrees of Crispy.
Yes. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, does Joe know he's right nearly 50% of the time? Rookie numbers. It's coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line. Every now and then Heidi throws in like this random veiled shot at you, and I like it.
I missed those, Heidi. Thank you. Rookie numbers.
50%.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I mean, Rex Rhodes right.
Yeah. It works 70% of the time all the time or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Griffin texting in says, not really what you guys are going for, but I personally think Edmonton has had one of the most talented rosters for years now, and they don't seem to take off. It's coming from Griffin. On the text line.
Two great players.
See, I think they have two great players and then a whole bunch of average around the two great players. Especially, I mean, their goaltending, quite frankly, kind of sucks. And he's been on a, Mike Smith's been on a tear a bit as of late, but that's still, to me, why I don't think they're doing anything in the playoffs, because you eventually have to be able to stop the puck. As good as Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are, if you can't stop the puck, you're going to be in some trouble come playoff time.
Yeah, and they've tried to, I mean, they've, you know, Ken Holland, speaking of the Red Wings, tried to improve things. I mean, but their decor has been bad for a lot of this stretch, too.
Yep. I got a text that says the Kings lost in the cup final in 92-93. They did. We're talking about winning it, though.
Yeah. Actually winning it. I don't know. I didn't think of the – it was because of Gretzky. There was so much attention on them, but they were never that team. Right?
I mean, this is
not as I recall it. Yeah, that's right. You were an infant or almost an infant. I'm going to say no. They weren't quite that team.
Okay.
Trust me. I'm right almost 50% of the time.
So have we talked ourselves into, if you're the Predators, you want a first-round matchup with Colorado today? Yes or no? Some people on the text line are like, bring it on, man. It's like, if you're going to see the Avalanche at some point anyway, might as well get them in the first round.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. But again, if you avoid them, then someone else does the dirty work for you.
Yeah.
I think I'd still pick Calgary, but I do think it's close.
I mean, right now, if you're the Predators, like, you're hoping you could play one of them. The picking your opponent stuff, which doesn't happen in the NHL anyway, I don't think. Like, I don't think people are out there, like, throwing games like, you know, I'd really like to see Anaheim in the first round instead of Chicago.
That's so a bad way to do business.
Typically doesn't work out for you very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how are you going to tell those guys? Again, it's like football. It's like you can't you can throw like a basketball. You can't throw football.
Oh, I remember there were some Preds fans. I think the last day of the season in 17 before they made their run to the cup final, they lost to Winnipeg on the road.
Right.
Which I think was the difference in them playing at Anaheim in the first round and at Chicago.
Yeah.
And there are Predators fans that are convinced to this day that the Predators threw the end of that game on purpose because they didn't want to do the travel thing again and go out to Anaheim so they could travel to take on Chicago.
That makes sense.
Hey?
We want the number one seed. We know what happened in the series. We know what happened.
Sure.
But no. They were not openly trying to do that.
Better conspiracy theory, that one, or the Belichick texted Brian Flores on purpose to prevent Tom Brady from becoming owner of the Dolphins.
I meant the other Brian. I wish one of you spelled it with a Y.
That conniving Belichick is always up to something.
I like that one way better. I want to believe the Belichick one is true. Yeah. Yeah, you can't go. You can't go that route. What would you pick, Calgary or Colorado? Final answer before the show ends.
Calgary, but slightly. It's way closer than I think people think it is. Just style of play. Like, style of play, I think Predators.
Calgary is really good.
Calgary is really good, and that's the way they play. But I think the Predators could cause Colorado some problems. I mean, honestly, if I'm picking a day, I think both of them are beating the Predators in the first round. But slight edge to Calgary, who I'd rather see. So, there we go. We figured it out. The final word here on the program. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.